In this episode of the Motor City Hypnotist Podcast, we are doing History of Hypnosis Part 2. If you've not listened to Part 1, jump back an episode. You'll be caught up to right where we're at. Or you can listen to this one and go back and do that one. It doesn't matter. You're getting all the same information, just in different order.
Right.
It's crazy. So, yeah, we're doing History of Hypnosis Part 2. It's really interesting how things develop over hundreds of years and how they become much different than what they originally were. But we're going to talk about that, and we're going to bring it right up to date to current times.
All right.
And as usual, we're giving away free stuff. Hang in there, folks. We'll be right back.
Get ready for the Motor City Hypnotist, David R. Wright, originating from the suburbs of Detroit, Michigan. He has hypnotized thousands of people from all over the United States. David R. Wright has been featured on news outlets all across the country and is the clinical director of an outpatient mental health and hypnosis clinic located just south of Detroit, where he helps people daily using the power of hypnosis. Welcome, the Motor City Hypnotist, David R. Wright.
What is going on, my friends? This is David Wright, the Motor City Hypnotist, and we're back with another episode of the Motor City Hypnotist Podcast.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. That is Matt Fox, the other voice you hear.
Hello.
Hanging out on the podcast here in the palatial podcast, your voice, Southfield Studios.
And he's back.
And we're back. We're back after a little break. We did get another episode. One is in. This is our second one after being back after about a month. So Hopefully it won't be that long till next time.
We'll see.
We'll see. Now, you never know. Life happens. You know, it's crazy. Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, a lot of stuff happens. So it's crazy. So we're here doing a podcast. Shout out to Podcast Your Voice, podcastyourvoice.com. If you're interested in doing a podcast, check them out. This is the way to do it, folks. I know a lot of people, a lot of my colleagues are doing podcasts, and they're doing it all on their own. They're sitting at home in a room, uploading, doing the RSS feed. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Because when I started, I actually did a couple of episodes on my own. And it was like, no, I need some help with this. But this is great because honestly, I swear to you, I walk in, put my laptop, plug it in, do the show, pack up my stuff and go.
Mm-hmm.
They handle the download, the RSS feed. They download, well, the notes I have to do, but. You know, other than that, but everything's done for you. All the back end is done. You don't have to worry about it. It's fantastic. So check out podcastyourvoice.com.
Thank you for that.
Let me tell you where you can find me. My website is motorcityhypnotist.com. And I'm going to be pushing this for the next couple months, at least, that prom grad season is fast approaching and dates are filling up quickly. So if you are in a parent committee that is handling your high school all night party or your after prom party, wherever you're at in the United States, even I'll go to another country and do a show.
Yeah.
If you want me to come out, I'll come out.
Canada's right there, dude.
I've done shows in Canada.
All right.
Mm-hmm. I'm an international celebrity.
Oh, great Odin's Raven.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, right, right. No, you know, the other one we should do is...
I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, check out my website, motorcityhypnotist.com, show inquiry. It'll take you right to the page. You can put your information in there and get a quote in minutes without talking to anyone.
There it is.
And then you can book it. You can sign and book it and pay your deposit. Everything's online. So you don't have to worry about getting a hold of someone or having somebody return your call. It's all automated. So
that's
check that
cool.
out. Yep. My social media, Facebook and YouTube, are both Motor City Hypnotist. And on Snapchat and Instagram, both Motor City Hypno. That is HYPNO.
Yeah.
And as usual, we give away a free hypnosis guide every single show. We're at 254, I think this show is.
Love it.
And every episode, it's there. Pick it up. Take it. It's yours. It's free.
Yeah.
Text the word hypnosis to 313-800-8510. If you need that number, check the show notes or just go right to my website. The phone number is right on the front page.
Man, you make it easy.
the biggest thing, wherever you're listening, even if it's on Facebook or on whatever platform you're on, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, whatever, wherever you get your podcasts, leave a review. That would be super helpful because it helps us get out to more people and more people listen. It's just a great thing.
Yep.
And the big thing is also subscribe. That way you'll get new episodes as soon as they drop. You don't have to look for them. That'll be great.
Yes.
All righty.
Okay.
It is time, Matt.
Here we go.
That's how winning is done.
Okay.
Okay. So this story is about a garbage man.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
That's okay.
Yes.
All right.
This is a mess.
I thank you for the reminder. I got to take trash out tonight.
So GNN often reports on life-saving rescues by firemen risking life and lung to pull people from burning buildings. But these two are not firemen and are a different sort of hero.
Okay.
They're heroes, no doubt, but by trade, they haul trash. Nonetheless, while working in Tipton, England on Tuesday morning, they saw fire ripping through a small brick townhome and rescued a man, a woman, and their dog.
Okay.
Steve Whitehouse and Kevin Marriott worked for Serco Garbage Collection, and it was Whitehouse who first jumped into action. I saw a young woman screaming from the balcony, and all I could think was that I needed to get her to her as quickly as possible, mm-hmm. Whitehouse told the BBC. Whitehouse climbed up to a first-floor balcony three times to rescue the trio from the flames. He first carried the woman down, but when he turned back to help the young man, he found he was shouting to his dog still inside.
Oh, boy.
Bundling the dog in a blanket, Whitehouse climbed down and told the owner, throw the dog to him. After catching the dog, the garbage man returned up to the balcony to help the man.
Oh, so they got the dog before the
man.
Wow.
The man wrapped the dog in a blanket and dropped it to Whitehouse, who was on the ground.
It's a good thing the dog's name wasn't No. Come here, No. No. No.
Meanwhile, Whitehouse partner Marriott went door to door shouting for people to get clear of the connected townhomes.
Okay, yeah.
So one person went to rescue mode, the other one went to like clearing everybody out.
Right, right.
To keep them safe.
Jeez.
Both the man and the dog suffered from smoke inhalation when 19 firefighters arrived from West Midlands Fire and Rescue. The dog was treated on site while the man was rushed to the hospital. I have no doubt that without Steve's incredible bravery, the outcome could have been very different, said senior firefighter Chris Green. Hmm. I have no idea how he managed to do what he did. It was heroic. The fire and smoke were coming out of the property's rear door like a blowtorch.
Right.
According to the BBC, the two garbage men debriefed and recovered over a cup of coffee and went right back to finish their collection rounds. Let's have a coffee and then we'll go pick up more garbage.
Right, right. I'm having the movie Men at Work.
So, back to it.
The movie Men at Work is going through my head with Charlie Sheen and Emilio Estevez.
Right. Yeah,
it's just going through my head at the moment.
So the last line of the story, not all heroes wear capes, but some of them wear whatever garbage men wear.
Right.
That's what that is. So
going back to the dog though, they say that's just that people and their fur babies.
Yes. You know, I know.
And the dog, you know, had smoke inhalation.
Right.
Man, to go and find the dog in the fire.
Yeah. Wrap him in a blanket and get him. I mean, you know, honestly, you know, our dog passed about a year ago, mm-hmm. but I would do the same thing for my dog. Absolutely.
Just don't name your dog Help.
Yeah. Or No.
Or No.
He has a brain like a chicken.
No, dogs are smart.
Can you imagine going outside calling for your dog? Help! Help!
Give me my name, Shithead,
or Roadkill,
like from The Jerk.
Yes,
yes.
Come here, Shithead.
Come here, Shithead. All right. So hold on. I got to find the name: Steve Whitehouse and Kevin Marriott.
Yes, thank you, guys.
Absolutely, winners of the week.
How winning is done.
I've been getting a crap ton amount of Whose Line Is It Anyway reels
on my Facebook. I love those.
And that's where the no and the help came from.
Right.
Because like unfortunate names for dogs.
Okay.
And the lady walks out. Help! And Ryan Stiles walks out. Come here, roadkill. Come
here. Oh, boy. That escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
I don't have my own materials.
So. No, it's all good. No, I love those. I do the same thing, Matt, because like I'll just be on YouTube or just even online, and I'll run into those, and I'm like, oh, I got to watch a couple of these.
I live my life through movie quotes and song lyrics.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's why we have all the stuff on our, you know.
Yeah.
Like this in the background. What the fuck is it with you?
That was not in a movie.
No, that was not. But it was during the filming of a movie.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
It wasn't meant to be recorded. No, no. During
it wasn't
the
meant to be recording. In fact, we have
doing? I don't know.
Oh, no. Wrong one. Sorry. That was from a movie.
Yes, it was.
Where's the other one for that?
Oh, good for you. No, don't shut me up.
Yeah, that's Christian Bale just having
like this in the background. What the fuck is it with you?
Yeah, just losing his mind. Yeah. I know. I know it's such an unfortunate thing, and he probably, you know.
He's still getting shit for it.
Oh, I'm sure. But it's so good. We have to use it.
Yeah, of course.
So we are talking about, folks, the history of hypnosis. And we ended last episode, we went through history up to Franz Mesmer, who was born in 1734.
Right.
So we're going to move forward with Mesmer, because Mesmer was one of the most influential hypnotists in history.
And he was using magnets.
He started using magnets, yes.
Okay.
So he was a student of Maximilian Hell, who was a physician who used magnets. And again, he used those. He applied magnets to the naked body of patients to cure them from their diseases and illnesses.
So Maximilian Hell sounds like an MCU villain.
Yeah, doesn't it?
A little bit.
Yes. Yeah. Sounds like a hooligan.
Now you listen to me, mister. God did not put me on this earth to be awakened by filthy suggestions from a foul-mouthed hooligan like you.
You see her pointing the finger, you know, shaking the finger at you.
So anyway, Mesmer was born in 1734 and lived to 1815. Now, even as I say the name, that's where mesmerism comes from.
Right.
Franz Mesmer.
Mesmerized.
Yeah. Mesmerism. Now, in case you guys don't know, there was actually a movie done about Franz Mesmer. Alan Rickman starred as Franz Mesmer.
You did mention that once before. Yeah.
The movie came out in 1994. I have watched it. It's entertaining. It's very kind of informative. Okay. It seems a little, when you see the archaic medical procedures of the day, it's kind of like, wow, this is crazy. But I mean, we're talking about the late 1700s and 1800s. Okay. So, you know, we talk about things evolving over time, and medicine's no different. Right. You know, we had places called insane asylums as recently as 50 years ago.
Right.
So you can see how things progress and evolve over time, especially as far as medical treatment goes.
Sure.
So Mesmer was really, as a physician, he was maligned by other fellow physicians during his time.
Just didn't enjoy
because of his practices and his beliefs. They thought it was a joke, a farce, or just something ridiculous. So, In addition to the word mesmerism coming from Franz Mesmer, the other thing that he coined was animal magnetism. If you've ever heard that phrase, that was coined by Anton Mesmer.
I've got quite a bit of it. Yes. Thank you.
Yep. Franz Mesmer. I'm sorry. Wrong Mesmer. I don't know why I said Anton. I don't know where that came from. Okay,
but I have
it's
a
crazy.
Lot. Yeah. I'm very, I'm very magnetic.
Yeah. Franz Mesmer. So he coined the term animal magnetism, which was the belief that the human body gave off these magnetic wavelengths.
Okay.
And that's where he coined that. So, and Mesmer himself was what they considered like I would call it a showman. He was very flamboyant.
Okay.
And
hey, look at me.
Hey, look at me. I'm doing this.
And people would just gravitate towards
it. So if you think about a typical like thought when I say, oh, like old time hypnotist, mm-hmm. what comes to mind?
What comes to mind when I say old time hypnotist?
Yeah.
Oh, geez, so much.
Yeah. Any specifics? Like,
I'm thinking of a watch.
Pocket watch.
That's dangling one. Yep. In front of you.
Yep.
Right. Count back from 100. That's another.
That's a good one. How about clothing?
Okay, now we're going to unbutton.
So we're talking about like the goatee beard and a cape and the swinging watch. All these right. all came from Mesmer.
Oh my goodness.
That was all from him. So he's a showman.
He's a magician.
Yes. In a way, he was a magician of the mind at right. that time, but he played up the whole act of being able to cure people. Like the focus was on him, mm-hmm. not on the treatment itself.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
All right.
So, yeah. So Mesmer was much maligned by his professional colleagues at the time because of his outrageous theories.
I almost say outrageous behavior.
Well, that too. Because again, he was, like I said, he was flamboyant the goatee and the cape and all of that.
I'll let you get into it. I'll be right back.
So going further, like after Mesmer, the next famous or the next significant figure in the world of hypnosis was John Elliotson, who lived 1791 to 1868. He was a professor at London University, and he kind of took hypnosis and started using it because he thought it was a very resourceful or very positive and successful way to treat people with mental disorders and even physical disorders. Interesting note, John Elliotson actually introduced the stethoscope to England. So I don't believe he invented it, but he introduced it to the country of England as a tool for medicine. After Elliotson comes one of the next real pioneers of hypnosis was a British gentleman named James Braid. He lived from 1795 to 1860. He was Scottish and he was an eye doctor. So he's an eye physician. So what he did, he started the whole thing of object fixation. When I say object fixation, you can go back to the swinging watch example. That's kind of a caricature of old hypnotists swinging a watch in front of people's eyes. Now, here's the big thing. Eye fixation is actually a thing that I use now, even today in these modern times, because eye fixation helps you to get to that relaxed state. So, for example, if I'm working with a client in my office or a client in a show, during the induction part, that's the part where you relax people into the state of hypnosis, I have them fix on an object, whether it's across the room or towards the ceiling, but I have them stare at that object. It's called an eye fixation. And what that does, it creates a fatigue or a stress in your eyes. So that helps you to just shut down and relax. So that is, again, a technique that we use today in modern hypnosis is eye fixation. And that came from James Braid. Sorry, I lost my note there for a minute. So the next major figure in hypnosis was James Esdale from 1808 to 1859. So he recognized that the enormous benefit of hypnosis was pain relief. And what James Esdale did, he went further than the prior predecessors of hypnosis. He performed hundreds of major operations and surgeries using just hypnosis as his only anesthetic. So no drugs, no injections, no IVs. He strictly used hypnosis as a form of anesthesia during operations and surgeries. After Esdale comes Emil Kuh, 1857 to 1926. He moved away from conventional approaches of hypnosis and pioneered the use of what we call auto-suggestion. So he's best known for the phrase, and this is, I know fellow hypnotists who use this now.
Okay.
Day by day, in every way, I am getting better and better. That is the mantra that he would repeat to people while under hypnosis to make them feel better. And Kuh also came up with what we know as the placebo effect. that if you believe something is real, mm-hmm. it's real.
Right.
Even if it's not.
See, and that's like a catch 22.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you see most qualified medical studies mm-hmm. have a placebo trial.
Okay.
Or mixed placebo trial. You know, there's always a control group that get a placebo and group that gets the real medication.
Sure.
So they can compare if this real medication has an actual value to it. But
we
you'd be
about
surprised
that,
yeah. how many times the placebo group improved mm-hmm. just by thinking they were getting something
fair.
Beneficial.
Absolutely fair.
Yep.
Yep. We talked about the placebo effect with yep. ketamine
yes,
episodes.
Absolutely. Yes. Okay. So this is the huge name of the whole group. Sigmund Freud. He lived from 1856 to 1939.
But you can call him Ziggy.
We can call him Ziggy or Freudy, okay. whatever.
What,
yeah.
What kind of stupid wiener name is that?
So, and I don't know if, and we've talked about Sigmund Freud before, but he was interested in hypnosis, and he used it extensively in his work in the beginning of his career.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, he just abandoned the practice.
The whole shebang.
Yeah, he just gave it up. Huh. One, the biggest reason was he wasn't very good at it.
Could it be because he was Sigmund Freud?
Yeah. So there was a TV show, Freud, on Netflix not too long ago, maybe a couple years ago.
All right.
If you look it up, you can find it.
It was
a series, a limited series. And it does somewhat accurately portray his dabbling in hypnosis.
Okay.
So what happened was, and I'll give you a quick story on Freud. He had an assistant.
Right.
It was a woman.
Yes.
And he had to demonstrate hypnosis in front of this whole medical board.
Mm-hmm.
They were coming for a conference. So he got with his assistant and said, just play along.
Sure.
So he ended up hypnotizing her, and she wasn't playing along. She was actually hypnotized during this thing. And it shocked the hell out of him because she said afterwards, she goes, I wasn't pretending.
Sure.
I something was different, you know.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. And then after Freud becomes Uncle Milty.
Uncle Milty.
Milton Erickson lived from 1901 to 1980.
Wow, 79 years old. All right.
He was a master of indirect hypnosis. So he was able to put a person into trance without even talking about hypnosis or saying what the thing was he was going to do.
Huh. It just happened.
Yeah, he just would put them into a trance just with conversation.
I thought I listened to that radio show. Wasn't it called Pillow Talk?
Pillow Talk.
With Mr. Alan Alda? Yeah.
What in blazes are you talking about?
Okay, sidebar. I actually won a dozen roses.
I know you did.
From Alan Allman. I called in. I got through. I won a dozen roses. Yeah.
But I would imagine that Uncle Milty had that type of a soothing voice.
Yes, that soothing voice and that just kind of cadence that helps. And really, that is a lot of hypnosis. It's a rhythm. It's a cadence. Uh-huh. And if you look at good hypnotists, they just have this banter.
Uh-huh.
Is what I call it.
Okay.
And it just kind of
puts you at ease.
Eases people in. Yeah, absolutely. So
Uncle Milty.
The other thing with Milty, a couple of things that he specialized in. He was the founding president of the American Society for Clinical Hypnosis and a fellow of the American Psychiatric Association.
Wow. Okay.
The American Psychological Association and the American Psychopathological Association. So he is noted for his research and work in the unconscious mind. And his approach was to be creative and solution focused.
Hmm.
And I think this is where it kind of advanced. It took a big jump. Hypnosis took a big jump forward as far as, okay, let's focus and resolve the issue. Let's get a solution from this.
Interesting.
He's also the one who introduced what we would call brief therapy as a doctor. So brief therapy is an approach that says, let's get to the root of the problem, resolve it, and get it done as quickly as possible.
Right.
Let's not spend years. Whereas Freud's approach, psychoanalysis, was 4 or 5 sessions a week for a couple of hours
mm-hmm.
in the way psychoanalysis works is the therapist doesn't ask you questions.
Yeah, they just listen.
The therapist sits behind you. They just let you talk and they take notes the whole time.
Right.
So it's free association. It's just where your mind takes you.
Mm-hmm.
And you just talk for an hour. And then, but a full psychoanalysis could take years.
Sure.
And you can see how, put it in the context of today. Could you imagine if I had a client come in and said, hey, we're going to do psychoanalysis for the next 5 years.
No one got time for that.
4 or 5 times a week. No one has time for it. And one, two, insurance wouldn't pay for it.
No.
It just wouldn't be covered.
So the brief therapy is like ripping the Band-Aid off.
Yeah. The brief therapy is just like, let's get to the point and get it resolved.
All right.
Period.
We made quick work of that.
Right. Did dedicate his professional career to the advancement of hypnosis. And he was committed to the methodology, the scientific methodology of the way hypnosis works.
Okay.
And he was an advocate of regulating the profession so that only trained professionals could do it.
Sure.
Which again was a huge step forward. So Erickson's clinical innovations on the practice of hypnosis are credited with us with its like renaissance, and it's like it kind of had a wave, but then Erickson brought it back with a vengeance, let's say. So as far as progressing or advancing hypnosis, Erickson was probably the biggest person there was.
Got it.
So why we call him arguably the father of modern hypnosis. Plus he lived more recently. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, he lived till 1980.
Right.
So,
right.
You know,
we got a lot more information on Uncle Milty than we have on.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And plus it's just more modern. It's kind of, and again, time, as I said, everything evolves, medicine evolves, hypnosis evolves. And it's gotten to the point where he was working in the modern times.
Right.
And it's just a little bit more.
But how much has the world changed since 1980?
Well, that's a good question.
And the technology that we've gained and garnered. Right. So I can only imagine where hypnosis is going to be in the next 40, 50 years. Who's going to be that next Uncle Milty?
Well, see, here's the issue that this comes in when we talk about hypnotherapy in particular, like working with clients to resolve issues. So the U.S. Department of Labor supplies the following definition for hypnotherapists.
Okay.
And I'll read it quickly because it's kind of long. Hypnotherapist induces hypnotic state in a client to increase motivation or alter behavior pattern through hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
Consults with client to determine the nature of the problem. Prepares client to enter hypnotic states by explaining how hypnosis works and what the client will experience.
Mm-hmm.
Test subject to determine degrees of physical and emotional suggestibility, induces hypnotic state in client using individualized methods and techniques of hypnosis based on interpretation of test results and analysis of the client's problems.
Wow. Okay.
Some states hold the term therapist to be licensed medical professionals. Therefore, using this term and not being a licensed professional would be practicing without a license.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've hit on this before, especially back in our episode when we talked about when hypnosis goes wrong.
Yes, we did.
Which we're going to bring that back too.
All right.
Because I think that one was way in the beginning.
Yes, like it was.
Probably the first couple episodes. So here's the thing. There are, and I'm going to end with this. There are no governing bodies for hypnotists. There's no licensure. There's no certification as far as a state or national certification.
Yeah.
So as a therapist, I'm a licensed professional counselor. I'm licensed by the state of Michigan to practice.
Mm-hmm.
That's my license. Just like a medical license would be the same thing.
Sure.
Hypnotists don't have that. You could be, and this is not a knock on plumbers, but you could be a plumber, go and take a course for 2 hours and say you're a hypnotist or hypnotherapist
because
there's nothing regulating.
Sure.
Now, there are a couple states, Florida is one, Colorado is another, there might be another one, where people cannot call themselves a hypnotherapist unless they are a licensed mental health professional.
Like yourself.
Like myself. Most other states don't have any type of requirements for that.
Hmm.
So when you hire or see a hypnotist, be sure, this is the question to ask, are you also a licensed mental health professional? Because I'm going to say this, if they're not...
Walk out that door.
Don't go.
Yeah.
because, again, there's no regulation. There's no standards. There's mm-hmm. no oversight
right.
for a lot of these people. Mm-hmm. Because they call themselves a hypnotherapist doesn't mean they're a licensed mental health professional.
Right.
So ask that question. That is the big thing.
Good advice.
Absolutely. All right, folks. That is the history of hypnosis.
It was the Cliff Notes version.
It was fairly quick, but we got through most of the major names and got the important points across.
I'd like to learn a little bit more about Mesmer.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, well, I think we did a thing on Mesmer a while back. Uncle Milty.
We did Uncle Milty.
Yeah.
I know we did.
Oh, no, that was Erickson. Yeah.
We did talk about.
So we got to talk more about Mesmer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm curious absolutely. To learn a little about more.
Yeah,
more
we'll about do, Mesmer. We'll do that. We'll put one out there for Mesmer.
All right. So, fair enough.
All right, folks, before we go.
Uh-oh.
Somebody needs adopted.
Okay, who is it?
Prancer. He was born September of 23, so a few months old.
Okay.
Mixed breed, male, will be about 50, 60 pounds.
Okay.
Dog friendly, yes. Cat friendly, unknown. Kid friendly, yes. Older than 5.
Okay.
Here's Prancer.
Come on. Look at that.
I know. Prancer needs a home.
And if you're lucky, you might get Rudolph.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Or Blitzen.
Or Donner.
Yeah, all of them.
Do they come
so anyway.
They come with a sled.
Prancer needs a home. DetroitDogRescue.com.
Aww.
Check it out. He just wants to cuddle up next to you.
Yes, he does.
He wants to lay on the couch with you. That's what he wants.
Let's see.
Yeah. All right, Prancer. Prancer needs a home.
Thanks for
Adopt him. He needs it.
Thank you for sharing.
All right, folks. Thank you for joining. Thank you for checking in. We will be back next Monday. If you want to join us, we record live on Facebook Live every week on Monday evenings at 8:00 Eastern Standard Time.
Mm-hmm.
Just pop in and be part of the conversation.
Say hi.
Just interact with us.
Yeah.
That's what we like.
We promise we'll be nice.
Maybe. We may not. Who knows?
Oh, great Odin's Raven.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, we'll have fun. That's what we do.
Yes.
All right, folks. Thank you for checking in. Change your thinking, change your life, laugh hard, run fast, be kind. We'll see you next time.